This is the tale of Johnny Watt, aka Big John Fallis, aka the Human Tripod. His parents named him John Curtis Estes, but the name you may recognize is John Holmes, even if you don't admit to knowing it. John was an adult film actor who starred in over 2,500 films, but it wasn't his acting ability that made him famous. He was best known for having one enormous penis, with some stating it was as large as 16 inches. Toward the end of his career, however, John was known more for his dealings in the Los Angeles underbelly and his involvement in what would become known as the Wonderland Murders in July of 1981. These murders would involve a group of low-level crooks named the Wonderland Gang, as they operated out of a row house on Wonderland Avenue in the Laurel Canyon neighborhood of Los Angeles. John was heavily involved in drugs at this time, both using and selling. It's interesting to note because John was never into drugs before his career exploded. But John and this gang were heroin-addicted cocaine dealers. John was a reluctant accomplice. He knew he got mixed up with the wrong crowd, but he wanted to use his status to get drugs, and because of this, he was used, and he got swept up in the whole situation. John Holmes was a staple in nightclubs, as did anyone in the porn, heroin, cocaine scene of the 1980s. There are still nightclubs today, and people still go to them, but they weren't like they were back in the 70s and 80s. The nightclub was the place to be. John was popular with some of the owners of these nightclubs. He was Johnny Watt, after all. A friend of John's introduced him to the owner of the Odyssey, Chris Cox. And then in turn, Chris introduced him to Eddie Nash, another important player in this story. Eddie owned several nightclubs, including the Starwood in West Hollywood. Eddie Nash also had a large stash of drugs, money, and jewelry in his house. Holmes knew it, and he decided to use this information to stay on the good side of the Wonderland Gang. John, after all, needed to look after himself and feed off the endless supply of the drugs the Wonderland crew was giving him. And that's where things got messy. John was born in August of 1944 in rural Ohio to Mary June Holmes and railroad worker Carl Estes. Carl was not named on John's birth certificate. Mary had married Edgar Harvey Holmes, with whom she had three other kids, Dale, Edward, and Anne. So Edgar filled the position of father to John. Mary and Edgar were married and divorced three separate times. His mother was a religious fanatic. She was a Southern Baptist, and she and her children attended church regularly. Edgar, however, was an alcoholic who would stumble around the house and even vomit on the children. Quite the contrast to Mary. To get away from this turbulent home life, John would frequently go spend time at his maternal grandparents' home, John and Bessie Barton. Eventually, Mary divorced Edgar for good and moved into a low-income housing project in Columbus, Ohio. Mary and her children lived with a friend and their two children. The two mothers worked as clerks and waitresses to help support their children. When John was seven, Mary married Harold Bowman in December of 1951. The family then moved 17 miles away from Columbus to Pataskala, Ohio. Bowman was a good father until he had a child of his own with Mary. Bowman lost interest in his stepchildren and started to neglect them and put all of his efforts into his biological children. At the age of 15, John left home and enlisted in the United States Army with his mother's written permission. He spent most of his enlisted time in West Germany. He was honorably discharged in 1963. Holmes then moved to Los Angeles and worked jobs as a door-to-door salesman and an ambulance driver. That's where he met his wife, Sharon Gabanini, in December of 1964. Sharon worked as a nurse, and they married in August of 1965 after Holmes turned 21. In April of 1965, John was working as a forklift driver at a meatpacking warehouse. And because of the exposure to the freezing air in the large walk-in closet, John began having severe health problems. His right lung had collapsed 3 times in the 2 years he worked there. Sharon also had health problems. In 17 months of marriage to John, she miscarried 3 separate times. This is where John Holmes became introduced to the world of pornography. He frequented a men's card-playing club in Gardena. He met a photographer there who had stood next to him in the men's room urinal. He slipped John his card and told him he could find him work in the underground adult film industry. So John started posing nude for adult magazines and filmed an occasional stag film. John's career began to take off from there. He was part of an adult film series built around a private investigator named Johnny Wadd. These films were written and directed by Bob Chin. Johnny Wadd was a hit, and people were demanding follow-ups. A second film was made in the same year, named Flesh of the Lotus. John was arrested during this time for pimping and pandering, because porn was still illegal. Even though successful films such as Deep Throat, Behind the Green Door, and The Devil and Miss Jones were being made, the legality of it all was still being contested. John avoided prison time by becoming an informant for the Los Angeles Police Department. In the late 1970s, John was earning as much as $3,000 per day as a porn actor. He started having an increasing problem with cocaine and freebasing around this time. This caused problems with John holding an erection and was flaccid in the movie Insatiable. John's career began to flounder, but he still needed to make money to support his drug addiction. So he started selling drugs for gangs, prostituting himself to both men and women, and committing credit card fraud and various acts of petty theft. He met and groomed 15-year-old Dawn Schiller. He was abusive towards her and forced her into prostitution to support his addiction. He was so abusive towards her, he even beat her in public. John also turned to performing gay porn in order to make money. His popularity was waning, and this was a way to keep earning money. He starred in a homosexual movie called The Private Pleasures of John C. Holmes, and other various stag films with him performing anal sex with men. His connections with Chris Cox and Eddie Nash were the beginning of John's major crime problems. John frequently sold drugs for the Wonderland Gang. Notable members that John was associated with were Ronnie Lee Launius and David Clay Lind, and their wheelman, Tracy McCourt. John was falling out of favor with the gang because he was using more drugs than selling. In order to get in their good graces, he told the gang of Eddie Nash's stash of drugs, jewelry, and money. Holmes told Launius and Lind about the stash, and he helped set up a home invasion and armed robbery that was committed on June 29, 1981. At Nash's home, Launius and Billy Devereaux disguised themselves as police officers. They led fellow gang members David Lynn and Tracy McCourt into the home, where they handcuffed Nash and his bodyguard, Gregory Dials. During the robbery, as Nash was being made to open the safe, Lynn accidentally shot and wounded Dials. The pair walked away, unrecognized, with $1.2 million in illegal drugs, cash, jewelry, and arms. The Wonderland Gang had just sold Nash the guns just a few days earlier. Holmes was not present during the robbery, but Nash suspected that John was involved. Nash later forced Holmes to confess his involvement in the armed robbery by threatening his life and those of his family. Nash had noted that Holmes had been to his house 3 separate times on the morning of the robbery, presumably to make sure the patio door was unlocked. Nash then dispatched men, accompanied by Holmes, to exact revenge against the Wonderland Gang. On the morning of July 1st, 1981, four members associated with the Wonderland Gang were found murdered, and a fifth was severely beaten in their townhouse. The victims were Billy Devereaux, Ronald Lonius, Joy Miller, and Barbara Richardson. The fifth surviving victim was Susan Lonius, Ronald's estranged wife. She barely survived and had no memory of the event. On the day of the discovery, police received a panic phone call from a pair of furniture movers who were working at the house next door. They had heard desperate, pained moans coming from the drug house. Investigators walked into a horrible scene. Barbara Richardson, David Lynn's girlfriend, was laying on the ground near the couch she had been sleeping on, covered in blood. Joy Miller was found dead in her bed, while Devereaux's body was slumped at the foot, leaning against a TV stand. A bloody hammer was tangled in Miller's sheets, and several metal pipes littered the floor. In the neighboring bedroom, Ron Lonius was dead, bloodied, and beaten, almost beyond recognition. The most horrifying sight was Lonius' wife, Susan. She was found covered in blood on the floor next to the bed that held her dead husband's body, her skull bashed in, but miraculously still alive. The moans that the moving company had heard belonged to her. She had been laying on that floor, with her skull crushed in, for more than 12 hours. The house was leased by Joy Miller. She had fallen in with the gang after separating from her wealthy husband. Joy's boyfriend, William Devereaux, was the gang's level-headed second-in-command. He was later found out to be a reluctant criminal. He regretted his long track record of heroin abuse and arrests. It made it difficult for him to find honest jobs. Ronald Lonius, on the other hand, was cold as ice. He was the Wonderland King. He made a name for himself in Vietnam when he was dishonorably discharged from the military, when he was caught smuggling drugs back into the United States inside the bodies of dead servicemen. Lonius had already spent time in jail for smuggling, and only narrowly escaped life imprisonment for murder when the prosecutor's star witness was killed in an accident. Holmes was present during the murders, and he left his left palm print over one victim's headboard. It was not proven that he had committed any of the murders or beatings. He was questioned, but then released due to lack of evidence. He also refused to cooperate with the investigation. Holmes went on the run, and after 5 months, he was arrested in Florida on December 4th, 1981, by former LAPD homicide detectives Frank Tomlinson and Tom Lang. John was extradited to Los Angeles, and in March of 1982, was charged with personally committing all four murders. But after a three-week trial, Holmes was acquitted of all charges, except for committing contempt of court on June 26, 1982. The murder trial was a landmark in the history of American trial procedure, as it was the first trial in which videotape was introduced as evidence. Eddie Nash was suspected of murdering the gang as revenge, and he was questioned and eventually arrested. He was charged with planning the murders, but Nash was saved by a hung jury. Just one juror stood between Nash and a guilty verdict. Eddie Nash walked free until the year 2000. When he was charged with drug trafficking and money laundering. As part of a plea deal, he admitted to having bribed a single dissenting juror in the original trial. He also confessed to commanding his men to repossess the stolen items in the Wonderland house on the night of the slayings, though he never admitted to having ordered the murders. After John was released from Los Angeles County Jail for contempt of court in November of 1982, he quickly resumed his film career with a new generation of porn stars. He still used drugs off and on, and although he was working a lot, it was no longer as lucrative as it had been with the advent of cheaply made videotapes that saturated the porn market. Most of his films that he made in the 80s were little more than just cameo appearances. In February of 1986, Holmes was diagnosed as HIV positive. His second wife, Lori Holmes, claimed John never used hypodermic needles because he was deathly afraid of them. A friend and former colleague, Bill Anderson, also confirmed that Holmes could not have contracted HIV from intravenous drug use because he never used needles. In the summer of 1986, Holmes was offered a deal with Paradise Visuals, who were unaware of his positive HIV diagnosis. He had to travel to Italy to film his last two porn movies. He filmed The Rise of the Roman Empress and The Devil and Mr. Holmes. These films caused controversy because Holmes had made a conscious decision to not reveal his HIV status to his co-stars before engaging in unprotected sex for the production. It was noticeable that Holmes' health was failing, but he lied and claimed to the press that he was suffering from colon cancer. Holmes married Lori Rose on January 23, 1987, in Las Vegas, Nevada, after confiding to her that he had AIDS. During his last 5 months, he remained in the VA hospital in Los Angeles. On March 13, 1988, at the age of 43, Holmes died from AIDS-related complications. His death certificate stated that he died from cardiorespiratory arrest and encephalitis due to AIDS. His body was cremated and ashes were scattered by his widow Lori and mother Mary in the sea off the coast of Oxnard, California. John Holmes was not the center of these murders, but he played a big part, pun intended. He was the middleman that introduced one world to the other. The drug-dealing gang and the nightclub owner's worlds were brought together by this one man, who happened to be a porn star. It sounds like a perfect mafia movie, but it was true life. Movies were loosely based off of this story. The 1997 movie starring Mark Wahlberg, Burt Reynolds, Julianne Moore, Heather Graham, and John C. Reilly was one movie made from the story of John Holmes and the Wonderland Gang. The movie Wonderland was based off of this story and starred Val Kilmer, Kate Bosworth, Dylan McDermott, Carrie Fisher, Lisa Kudrow, and Christina Applegate. The true story of John Holmes and the crimes on Wonderland seem like they've come from a movie because of how outrageous the cast of characters are. But this is real and dirty. Many stories are similar, but this story is boosted because there happened to be a man by the name of John Holmes involved. This story is out of this world and almost unbelievable. There are plenty of pictures online that will prove that this story is real. They are bloody and disturbing. All you have to do is search the Wonderland murders. They are not hard to find. You can get an idea of how horrifying it would have been for police to enter this house just by the amount of blood that is everywhere. So let this be a lesson. Do not backstab drug dealers or nightclub owners. Executive producers for this episode are Christine Rivera, Beth Davis, and Dusty J. Hicks. Associate producers are Paul Hodge, Noah Schultz, Brooke Morgan, Jay Rawlings, Terry Burke Wolin, and Bethany Cooper. Producers are Stephen Day, Trent Gobble, J.D., Devin Dean, Chantal Sizlik, Jan O'Donnell, Jessica Lloyd, Lissa Perello, Jenny Crawford, Alicia Knight, Laura Shin, Chris Owen, Maria Celine, Beth Esselman, and Aussie Tracy. This story was researched and written by Dorothy Jari, edited and narrated by Dave Jari. For an unfiltered, interactive, not safe for work version of this episode, hosted by myself and Garrett Corder, follow Criminal AF, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow Criminal AF Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. I'm Dave Jari, signing off from Studio Chloroform. Keep your head on a swivel and stay safe till next time.